Father in heaven, we are so thankful for all your many blessings for us, for the wonderful machines that you have created in us called the human brain. Lord, we ask that you would please be with us here as we study together, that your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom, give us words, give us understanding to see the wonderful way that you have made us. Please guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ellen White made a statement a long time ago that I struggled with for a long time. Let me read it to you. This is in The Faith I Live By, page 55. It is the Spirit that makes effectual what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. What should I do? Yeah, I have to read it like this. It is by the Spirit that the heart is made pure. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature. Amen? Here's the part I had a problem with. Christ has given His Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil. I used to think, Lord, how can I overcome what my genes predetermined me to be? That didn't seem fair. Does that seem fair? If we're born with a certain set of genes, it's stacked against us, right? Right? I mean, Lord, why are you going to hold me accountable for the genes that I didn't have any choice at getting? Some people are born to parents who are alcohol abusers. Are they genetically predispositioned to alcohol abuse? Yes, it's in their genes. And yet, as a people, we go to them and say, you've got to overcome that in order to go to heaven. So, Lord, that seems awful tight. It seems awful stiff. That just doesn't seem fair. There are some people that are born to parents that are drug abusers. Are they genetically predisposed to drug abuse? Perhaps. Not always, but perhaps. There are some people who are born to depressed parents or to one depressed parent. Do they have the potential of being predisposed genetically to depression? Yes. There are some children who grow up in abusive homes. Science tells us that they are predisposed, many of them, not all of them, many of them, to depression, lifelong depression. And then we read statements like this. We must overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil. I think, Lord, I know that you don't ask us to do anything that is impossible for us to do, but that seems like a tall order, doesn't it? The good news of the gospel is what we're going to share today. It's so exciting to see how God has wired the brain from birth to be able to change itself. Science is beginning to show us, and we're going to talk about this today, science is beginning to show us that well into the 90s, and if we live to be 100, even to the 100-year-old, the brain is amazingly plastic or moldable. It can change. It's designed to change. And as I make decisions, as you make decisions to do something that's uncomfortable or to change a behavior or to do something you know God is calling you to do, science is now showing us that our brains actually begin to rewire themselves. Our genetic code begins to change. Now that was unheard of 5 or 10 years ago. How many of you ever heard that once you lose a brain cell, it's gone forever? Not true. Can I hear an amen? How many of you have lived lifestyles that you know destroyed brain cells? I think probably most of us in this room. The good news of the gospel today is that Jesus saw what Satan would try to do to you and me before we were born. And He made our brains with the amazing capacity to change. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Amen. Man, this excited me so much when I heard this message for the first time that I could barely stay in my seat. I got so excited. Now, are some things in our brains hardwired? Oh yeah. Some things are hardwired. For instance, the color of my eyes. Can I change the color of my eyes by thinking about changing the color? No. Can I change my facial structure by thinking about changing? No. Those are hardwired genetic codes that I was born with and I can't do anything about. Then the Bible makes that very clear. The Bible says, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? Makes it very clear. I've lost a piece of paper. Let me see if it's in here. No, it's not in there. The Bible makes that very clear that there are certain things that we cannot change. But there are many things that we can change. And as soon as I find this piece of paper, maybe I left it over in the other room. Well, there are certain things that are hardwired. For instance, we have windows of opportunity that God has built in. Language skill. We know that language skill, or the ability to develop vocabulary, has a window of about 2 years old to about 8 years old to 10 years old. That's where that window of development is. That's why if you have children, it's very important when they reach that area of 2 to 4 years old to read to them, to talk to them, to use as much vocabulary, turn off the television set. Television has been shown to cause a decrease in language skills. It's a decrease in language skills. We have windows of opportunity for developing social apparatus or social skills, psychological skills. That's from birth to 2 years old. There's ability to develop a second language, that ability of the brain to develop a second language from about birth to about 8 years old. We have these windows of opportunity. And it's good for us to know about these windows of opportunity because that's where the brain is, more or less, hardwiring itself for those particular feats. However, you do see instances where can people learn a second language even at 50 years old? So even though we have a window of opportunity, the brain is still amazingly plastic or resilient with the ability to change. Now the Bible points this out. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, the thief comes to rob, to destroy, and to kill. Who's the thief that Jesus is talking about? Satan. Satan today has designed a lifestyle to rob, to destroy, and to kill. What does Satan want to rob from us? Salvation, number one. Health. Our relationship with the Lord. Where do we develop the relationship with the Lord? In our pancreas? In the mind. Now you see, Satan is very wise. Satan knows that Satan has designed a lifestyle to destroy our health. Satan knows that the same lifestyle that destroys heart health, that destroys pancreas health, that destroys colon health, that destroys the health of many of the organs of our body, also destroys brain health. But the brain begins to be affected long before the heart or the pancreas or the kidneys or the liver or anything else. Some of the most delicate machinery in the body is in the brain. Do you know that in your brain, how many neurons do you think you have in your brain? How many nerve cells that transmit information? No, it's a little less than that. It's 100 billion neurons in the average brain. 100 billion neurons. Now, each one of those neurons, I'm sorry I don't have my computer with me today. I didn't bring it, but anyway. You know what a nerve cell looks like? It's got a long body called an axon, and it has dendritic connections on the top and on the bottom. Each nerve cell, how many are there in the brain? 100 billion. Each neuron can have up to 100,000 dendrites attached to it. That means that in a normal human brain, you have the potential to have trillions of interconnections. In fact, the possibilities of connection in the brain is is that you have more possibilities of dendritic connections in the brain than there are atoms in the entire universe. That's how complex these brains are. Dr. Ben Carson, the neurosurgeon from Johns Hopkins University, said that if you were to make a computer to do what the human brain can do, with the accuracy of the human brain, the speed of the human brain, you would have to make a computer 5 stories tall, the size of Dallas, Texas. That's the human brain. And God took it all and put it right here. We are incredibly made. We are incredibly engineered. Now, for many, many years, let me read you a quote from one of the leading neuroscientists in the country today, Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz. Oh, here's my piece of paper right there. Oh, well, I already said it anyway. Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz said this. It has become obvious. I'm sorry, this is Dr. John Rady. He wrote an incredible book. I'll be quoting from it quite a bit today. An incredible book called The User's Guide to the Brain. Get this book. It's amazing. The User's Guide to the Brain, John Rady, R-A-T-E-Y. He's a physician at Harvard University. It has become obvious that we can actually change our brains by altering the external environment of our surroundings. Listen to what he's saying now. By altering the external environment of our surroundings or the internal environment of our bodies. What's the internal environment of our bodies? How do we alter that? Diet, exercise, sleep, reducing stress. We can take better advantage of our strengths and amend our weaknesses. The possibilities for change are bounded only by our imagination. Our willingness to assess our brains accurately through self-reflection and our commitment to do some hard work. One necessary precursor to change, though, is often, listen now, often a change in attitude. Attitude. What did Ellen White tell us years ago? She said, we must educate our lips to what? Praise the Lord. There are two areas in the brain. Now, I'm going to read one other thing to you here. One other quotation that we have here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I think it's number 7 on my list. Yeah. This is by Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz. He wrote a book called The Mind and the Brain. The time has come for science to confront the implications of the fact that directed, willed mental activity can clearly and systematically alter brain function. Friends, that he would have been labeled a joker just 10 years ago. Because we thought for many years that once you're born, your brain is hardwired and can't change. Science is starting to see that's totally wrong. Science is beginning to see that's totally wrong. Jesus said that the thief comes to rob, to destroy, and to kill. But what did he say about himself? I have come that they might have life. And have it how? More abundantly. Do you know that according to Dr. John Rady, he said there is no reason why we cannot have active, functioning, living, changing, growing brains well into our 90s. Well into our 90s. Is senility a natural result of growing old? No. Absolutely not. Science is very clear on this. Some people do have a genetic predisposition to senility. However, science is now telling us that we can overcome through proper choices, proper lifestyle, many times, those predisposed dispositions. Have you ever heard of the thing called nature versus nurture? Okay, what is nature? And the nature versus nurture argument about brain health or pancreas health or anything else. What is that nature side? That's genetics. What is the nurture? That is environment. That's environment. Well, I want to read you this quote here. John Rady, page 340 from his book. The point to remember is that the issue is not nature versus nurture. Now, he's totally unwinding a long-standing CODIS in science. It's not the issue of nature versus nurture. It's the balance between nature and nurture. Listen to what he says now. Genes do not make a man gay or violent or fat or a leader. Can I read that again? Genes do not make a man gay or violent or fat or a leader. Genes merely make proteins. The chemical effect of these proteins may make the man's brain and body more receptive to certain environmental influences, but the extent of those influences will have as much to do with the outcome as the genes themselves. Furthermore, we humans are not prisoners of our genes or our environments. Come on, you can say it. Yes, amen. We are not prisoners of our genes or our environments. We have free will. You sound like an evangelist. We have free will. Genes are overruled every time a fat man diets and an alcoholic refuses to take a drink. Genes and the environment work together to shape our brains, and we can manage them both if we want to. Do you know what that's saying? I can no longer say, I can't help it. I was born this way. The devil made me do it. The Lord says, Dane, I don't care how you were born, I made your brain with the ability to change if you want to. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Because some of us aren't born with the best set of genes in the world. Some of us have pretty seedy pasts. And you know what's really interesting? What we're reading here, let me finish off this quote from Rady first. It may be harder for people with certain genes and surroundings, listen to what he says now, but harder is a long way from predetermination. What does the Bible say? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Do genes sometime win over environment? Yeah, someone with sickle cell anemia. How much can they do to reverse that single cell disorder? Are there people that have diabetes, a genetic predisposition to diabetes, and they get the disease? But later they learn that if they change certain eating habits and certain exercise habits, that they can reverse type 2 adult onset diabetes. Who won there, nature or nurture? Nurture. Environment overcame genetics. And friends, just as it is in the physical body, science is now telling us it's the same in the mental as well. Come on, give me an amen. Amen. This is good news. Because no longer is there an excuse for our bad habits. It's not there. I can say to the Lord, Lord, I couldn't help. You know how many years I swore, Lord? How could I overcome swearing? The Lord said, Dane, you didn't overcome because you didn't want to. Because what did Dr. Rady just say? If we use our will. Now, let me read you a quotation from the Spirit of Prophecy. I'll tell you what, folks. This woman was 200 years ahead of her time. 200 years ahead of her time. Listen to what she says. Councils on Health, page 440. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. Through the right exercise of the what? That's science. Before science ever knew it, she knew it. She was a good guesser, wasn't she? Nah, she was inspired. By yielding up the will to Christ, we ally ourselves with divine power. We receive strength from above to hold steadfast, a pure and noble life, a life of victory over appetite and lust is possible to everyone. Everyone who will yield his weak, wavering human will to the omnipotent, unwavering will of God. Can I give you the definition of willpower? I give my will to God and He gives me power. That's willpower. Is that easy? It's easy to understand. I give Him my what? Weak, wavering human will. Friends, listen to this statement. Our High Calling, page 103. You see, you thought you're going to be hearing science. This is science. We're going to read some other science, though. She says, you need not despair. It is for you to yield up your will to the will of Christ. And as you do this, God will immediately take possession and work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now listen to the miracle here. Listen to the miracle here. In the brain, I'll finish, remind me if I stop to finish off that quote. In the brain, and I printed out a picture of it because I didn't have my computer. Hope you all can see this. This is the human brain. And you see this, see that blue area in here? That is in the central part of the brain in what we call the, why did I just forget it again? I forgot it my first meeting. No, It's in the brain. Okay? It's in the middle part of the brain. And this is called the hippocampus. These little yellow dots on the right at the very end of each side of that hippocampus is called the amygdala. The amygdala has some function in memory. There's an area in the hippocampus that has another function of memory, but the amygdala has a lot to do with our emotion, quick response emotion. For instance, if you are walking on a pathway in the woods and you step on a stick and your eye catches out of the corner of your eye, it's something round and black, what are you going to do? You're going to jump. That might be a snake. That's amygdala function. Okay? Some of these areas of the brain, they don't think, they act. The cortex, another part of the brain, tells it how to respond to what it's acting to. It tells it how to think. So, as you look here, we now know from scientific studies, from Schwartz and Grady and many others, that new nerve cell generation does take place in these two areas of the brain, the hippocampus and the amygdala. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us that the emotional centers of the brain and the memory centers of the brain are very tightly wound together in God's plan. It tells us that we must constantly be balancing emotion with logic. Emotion with logic. What is Satan trying to do in our church today? He's trying to bring in emotional worship, not logical worship. Because Satan knows that when you begin to operate more off the emotional centers of the brain, your brain becomes imbalanced. And an imbalanced brain cannot generate new nerve cells as well as a balanced brain. We know that a brain under stress, chronic stress. I'm not talking about the stresses of the day that you handle well. I'm talking about chronic stress that you're not handling right, that it's always there. Chronic stress actually inhibits the brain from producing new nerve cells. Now, when these nerve cells are produced, they begin to percolate out to other areas of the brain. So, we now know that the brain cells that I killed through inordinate lifestyle, if I have a balance between the emotional and the logical, if I'm getting good exercise, if I'm going to bed at the right time, if I have a diet low in animal fat, low in animal protein, if these things are all in play and I'm handling stress correctly, my brain can rebuild itself. Yes! Praise the Lord. You're right, Jerry. Praise the Lord. The Lord saw what was happening back in the Garden of Eden before He ever made Adam and Eve and said, I'm going to make these people to be able to rebuild their brains because they're going to need it. But we need to be wise in how we operate. You see, let me show you how interesting the brain is. Okay, we're looking at this whole part of the brain. You do not have one spot in your brain labeled grandmother. Where when you think the word grandmother, and you start remembering all those things that your grandma taught you and all those things she did, those are all different spots of the brain. And the brain works with remarkable speed to pull all those memories together, and you say, oh yeah, I remember grandma, I remember her face, I remember the perfume she wore, I remember her sleeping, you know, all the other things. Now here's the interesting thing. Science is now showing us that the mood you're in at that moment will affect the memory of grandmother. If you're feeling mean, if you just had a bad experience, if you're not handling your stress correctly, did you know that a high sugar diet is a stress on the body? Can I say that again? A high sugar diet is actually a stressor on the body. Now, what do we know about the brain? If you have chronic stress, what happens? Can't rebuild itself. Can't rebuild itself. One Mountain Dew, one 32-ounce Mountain Dew, has 32 teaspoons of sugar. That's a psychopharmacologic dose of a macronutrient. Yeah. That's a psycho. What does psycho mean? Brain. What does pharmacology mean? Drug. It's a drug-like dose of a macronutrient. What's a macronutrient? Protein, sugar, fat. Those are macronutrients. We need them in our diet, but not in those huge amounts. Satan knows that, you think? And he's designed a lifestyle to get us stressed. He's designing a form of worship to get us more emotional than rational. He's designed home situations to be stressed. He's designed diets to derange the way the brain can operate. Hey, junk in, junk out. Whatever you gentlemen let your wife put sugar in the gas tank of the car, you know what it's going to do. It does the same thing in the body. But to show you how it works, the hippocampus, which is these blue areas here, deal with conscious, rational, factual, or declarative memory. The amygdala, which is the little tips on the end of the hippocampus, deal with unconscious, behavioral, or emotional, we call it procedural memory. You do it from instinct, like jumping because you think it's a snake. Now, if you have slow processing, there's no sensory urgency. In other words, if you're driving by a house and you know somebody lives in the house and the house is just normal, you look at that house, and as you're thinking about the person that lives in that house, what happens is, here's the chain that the body takes. It goes from senses to the thalamus to the hippocampus to the cerebral cortex. That's the circuitry that's used. If you're driving by that same house and the house is on fire, now you're going to start engaging fear circuits. So now the same thoughts go from the senses to the thalamus to the amygdala to the hypothalamus, to the pituitary gland, to the adrenal glands, and then back into the other senses. It's a whole different way of thinking. It's a whole different way of responding, depending on the sensory inputs that we have. Did you know that when I say the word bat or cat, those words are almost identical, aren't they? Bat, cat. Your brain has 30 milliseconds to hear the B or the C. And actually what happens is, to make it real simple, when you're learning how to talk, every time you hear a D, the D drops into the memory cycle. And it makes a deeper and deeper and deeper impression in the memory area of the brain. And the A and the T make memory. And they actually make a mark of some sort, chemically, in the memory area of the brain. So every time I say cat, it goes down, and oh, here's it, but here, and that means cat. I just don't hear the word cat, I hear the brain learns phonetically. The brain learns phonetically. But if you start having a lot of noise going on, what do I mean by noise? A bad home situation, mother and father fighting, kids fighting, TV blaring, you live near an airport. You know that children that live near an airport do not develop word skills as quickly as children live in the suburbs? Here's the reason why. This came out just recently in another study. And this is what it says. You may find it here. The brain, this is from John Rady. He says the brain has a tremendous ability to compensate. No, that's not it. Hang on just a minute. Let's see. Oh, here it is. This is from also from Rady, pages 61 and 62. Heightened anxiety drives up mental noise so much that people may literally see less of their environment. As though the brain space, usually open for perception, is busy with internal noise. Their brains are so busy dealing with the mental brain noise, the stress, the unhappiness, the selfishness, whatever it might be, that the visual channels in the brain aren't open to perceive accurately. Our brains are not infinite. They run out of space, just like a hard drive. They run out of gas, as it were. If the brain is busy trying to filter uncomfortable, frustrating noise, worries, or other concerns, there is less brain stuff or gray matter available for perceiving what is happening around us. What did our speaker speak about in church this morning? The signs are happening all around us and nobody's seeing it? It's brain noise. Brain noise. We're too busy. We're trying to cope with too many perceptual data. Listen, friends, listen to this. For decades, scientists maintained that once the physical connections were completed during childhood, the brain was hardwired. Now we have proof that development is a continuous, unending process. Axons and dendrites and their connections can be modified, strengthened, and perhaps even regrown. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but that says to me, God is here to help me. God is here to save me. God is here to show me a better way. What does it say in the Bible? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, what does Jesus say? If any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creation, the Greek says. A brand new brain. Who wants a new brain? I need a new brain. Now, the miracle is not just God coming up to me like Benny Hinn and saying, you're healed. And then I fall over backward and start flapping on the floor like a dead like a fish. That's not the way God works. Instead, when I surrender my will, which is the only thing I have control of, let me finish off that statement that I was reading you from Ellen White. Listen to what she says here. She says, you can, now this is Horror High Calling, page 103. You cannot control your impulses, your emotions, as you may desire. Can you all relate with that?
Amen.
But you can control your will. Amen. Hey, listen, friends. Of everything I have, the only thing I have 100% control of is my will. That's it. And isn't it good that God said that's all I need 100% control of? Come on, talk to me, church.
Amen.
Is that good news or not? God says, Dane, if you will give me unreservedly your will, I will give you without measure my power. That's where brain change starts to take place. Science is now showing us. You can read it in Rady's book. You can read it in Schwartz's book. You can read it in many of these new books that are just coming out. They are now seeing that when we make a, for instance, if I had been a subject, if I've been a slave to pornography, let's say, that I've been slave to pornography all my life, and I have wanted to change for the last 15 years, and I've pled with the Lord, Lord, change my brain. Give me victory over this. And I just keep falling and falling and falling. The problem is not with God. It's with what I am doing with my will. Here's how you change. When you are tempted, or when I am tempted, whatever bad habit I have, when I am tempted, for instance, to look at pornography, and I want to overcome it, I need to know at that point, Lord, I cannot control this impulse. But I can control my decision. And Lord, I am giving you my will at this moment for you to tell me what to do to overcome this problem. The Lord will say, get out your Bible. Get out Wiz. Get out something. Do something that's on the opposite end of the extreme. Get out something pure, ennobling, uplifting. And guess what happens? Science is showing us that when we make that choice to will our will to God, to let Him change us, our genes begin to change. They begin to restructure themselves. The brain begins to rewire itself. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Satan's a defeated foe. I'm glad to hear you. Satan's a defeated foe! And God has hardwired us. Listen now. God has hardwired us to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We're hardwired for victory. Listen to what she says. You can control your will, and if you do this, you will make an entire change in your life. A what? Entire change. By yielding up your will to Christ, your life will be hid with Christ in God and allied to the power which is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from God to hold you fast, and a new light, even the light of living faith, will be possible to you. But your will must cooperate with God's will. So what's the key? It's will. It's a decided action of the will. Listen to this. This is found in Messages to Young People, page 30. To have the religion of Christ means that you have absolutely surrendered your all to God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Moral power will be given you, and not only will you have your former entrusted talents for the service of God, but their efficiency will be greatly multiplied. It weakens, the surrender of all our powers to God, listen to me now, the surrender of all our powers to God greatly simplifies the problems of life. Greatly simplifies the problems of life. It weakens and cuts short a thousand struggles with the passions of the natural heart. Are you all awake out there? It weakens and cuts short a thousand struggles with the passions of the natural heart. Religion is a golden cord that binds the souls of both youth and age to Christ. Through it, the willing and obedient are brought safely through dark and intricate paths to the city of God. You see, that's why Jesus says in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, that when we're in the world, we are serving diverse lusts and we take pleasure in it. Friends, let's be honest. Is sin fun? For a time. For a time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6 says that we are taken captive by Satan at his will. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says that when we are sinners, we are alienated in our minds through our wicked works. Alienated where? In our minds. Friends, the battle is not for the bulge, it's for the brain. And yet Jesus comes in Deuteronomy 5, 16 and he calls us out of the house of bondage. Nobody raise your hand. I just want to ask you a question. Are you in bondage to something in your life? Take hope. Jesus has wired your brain for change. For change. And it's not a divine miracle. Yes, it is. It's a divine miracle, but it is predicated on human decision. I can get on my knees and pray for the next 20 years for God. I was a shoplifter. And I prayed. I was a Seventh-day Adventist shoplifter. I was a head elder shoplifter. I could not walk into a store without... I was good at it. I could... All that gold on your neck, I could have stolen that just like that. Not off you, but off the shelf. I could have stolen it just like that. I knew I was good at it. And I would sit in my car and I'd say, Lord, if I steal today, if I get caught, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose my wife, I'm going to lose my children. Give me the victory. And I walk inside and what do? I'd steal. Was the problem with God or with me? Finally, one night, I got down on my knees and said, Lord, that's it. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being led captive by Satan at his will. I said, Lord, please take this habit away from me. When I learned that the Lord bought it on the cross, who does it belong to? Him. He owned my shoplifting habit. That was a novel idea to me. And I said, Lord, if you own it and I keep it, I'm stealing because it's yours. I don't know why you want it, but I don't want it anymore. But I said, Lord, my hands are good at stealing. What do I do? Now, what did we just read? When we turn our will over to God, He cuts short 1,000 problems. You know what the Lord told me to do? He said, put your hands in your pocket. I said, hey, why did I ever think of this? You can't steal when your hands are in your pockets. So I walked into a store. And I said, okay, Lord, what do I do? He said, just keep your hands in your pockets. And every time I felt tempted to take my hands out of my pockets, what would I do? I said, Lord, I'm still yours. Will. Lord, I can't control my hands, but you can. I can control my will. Lord, you got my will. Keep my hands in my pockets. And for the first time in 20 years, I walked out of a store without stealing something. You think I felt like Victor? I said, wow, Lord, this is incredible. And for the next 3 months, every time I went into a store, I put my hands in my pockets. But you know what was happening? I don't have to put my hands in my pockets anymore. Why? Because as I placed my will on the side of God, my genes began to rewrite their code. My brain began to rewire. So what was once easy is now hard. That's the way God desired our brains. So I don't care what habit you have. I don't care what problem you're struggling with. If you yell at your wife or your kids or you're a workaholic, whatever it is, God says, you give me your will, I'll give you my power. I'll begin to rewire your brain. I'll begin to rewire your genes, and you will be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Wow, that's the good news of the gospel. Gospel salvation is not a passive act. It's a living, daily decision to follow God. And as we cooperate with God, listen to what happens now. As we cooperate with God and we begin to ask God to change our brains, what's happening? Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Was Christ Jesus a shoplifter? So he'll rewrite my brain just like his. Was Christ Jesus addicted to pornography? As I put my will in His, He begins to rewrite my brain so I'm no longer addicted to pornography. Was Jesus a curser or a swearer? He begins to rewrite my brain so I no longer do that. And the more I put my will in God's hands, the more my brain becomes like Jesus. And the more my brain becomes like Jesus, the more I reflect Him in my character. It's a vicious cycle toward eternity. That's salvation. Are you excited? Forgive me if I get a little excited about this. You see, Jesus says that in order for us to be partakers of the covenant, we have to do what Abraham did. What did Jesus tell Abraham to do in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1? He said, hey, turn in your Bibles there. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Notice what Jesus says here. Jesus said to Abraham, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. Friends, there are three things God called Abraham to leave. He said, you must leave your country. That's your national traits of character, your culture. He said he had to leave his father's, he had to leave his family, or from his kindred. That's his hereditary traits. That's his what? Nature. He said, you've got to leave your father's house. That's his cultivated tendencies to evil. That's his nurture. He had to leave all three. Now, when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, did God bless him? Did he fulfill the promise? No. He'd only fulfilled one third of the conditions. When Abraham's father died, did God now say, okay, I'm going to bless you now? No. Why? Because Lot was still there. He hadn't fulfilled all the conditions. Some of his heredity was still there. I'm sorry, some of his father's house. His nurture was still there. But if you go over one more chapter, in chapter 13 of Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 13, when Abraham and Lot got into that fight about their herdsmen, and when Abraham said, "You take what you want, Lot, it's all there." In verse 12 it says that, in verse 11 it says, Lot left, and in verse 12, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. And then verse 14 says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham," now it's not a mistake, this next line is there, "after that Lot was separated from him." That's where he fulfilled the condition. All three of them were done at that point. That's when God blessed. That's when God made him the father of many nations. Friends, we are asking God to give us the promise of salvation before we fulfilled the condition. You see, Jesus wants to give us a total mind transplant. Does that excite you? That it's become less and less hard, less and less easy to do good, to do evil, and more easy to do good? Is that a divine miracle? Yes, but it's a divine miracle predicated on our cooperation with God. That's why Jesus says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, "Put off the old man and put on the new." Friends, every time, if I've been addicted to television, every time I make a decision not to watch my favorite show on television because it's got nude women on it, or half-dressed women, or because it's got swearing, or because it's got lying, or any other thing that's not good for a Christian to watch, when I make a decision to turn that off, Jesus gives me the power to do it because I've given Him my will. And then as He gives me the power to do it, He begins to rewrite my brain structure. That's science. So that it becomes easier and easier and easier for me to do what God wants me to do. I want to read you from a wonderful little book called Christ's Object Lessons. I've read this chapter just several times, as you can see. I love this chapter. It's a chapter on talents. Listen to what she says. "God will accept only those who are determined to aim high. He places every human agent under obligation to do his best. Moral perfection is required of all." Now, if we didn't know what we just learned, that would seem kind of steep, wouldn't it? But God says, "I don't care what type of home life you came from. I don't care what type of treatment you've had. Those are not predications of future success or failure. The only thing that matters to God is who has your will." At the cross, we're equal. At the cross, we're equal. Who has your will? Who have you given charge of your thoughts? If we give Jesus charge of our thoughts, He begins to recreate our brain. Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. Lord says, "I don't care how much dope you've taken, you've smoked. I don't care how much crack you've smoked. I don't care how much pornography you've looked at." Well, He does care, but you know what I'm saying. This is rhetoric now. He says, "I can change it all." No amen. Amen. Come on now. He places every human agent under obligation to do his best. Moral perfection is required of all. Never should we lower the standard of righteousness in order to accommodate inherited or cultivated tendencies to wrong. In other words, there's no excuse. Now, let's show God's mercy here. Does God ask us to change just like that? No, it's a rewriting process, isn't it? He rebuilds that brain. But all God requires is 100% of the will. If I have given God 100% of my will, listen to me now, if I have given God 100% of my will, I am safe to take to heaven today. Today. We need to understand that imperfection of character is sin. Those who would be workers together with God must strive for perfection of every organ of the body and quality of the mind. true education is the preparation of the physical, mental, and moral powers for the performance of every duty. Friends, God wants us to understand today that the health message was not given to us so that we could live 7 years longer. The health message was given to us because of what it does in the brain. God knows that a high animal product diet deranges the brain's circuitry's ability to think clearly and rationally. God knows it clouds the perceptions. That's why when Israel left Egypt, what's the first thing God changed? Their diet. God knows that exercise. Do you know that little children who exercise do better in school than children who don't exercise? Did you know that little children who go outside and hang upside down from trees and run down and go on teeter-totters and slide down sliding boards, do you know that the same area of the brain that deals with balance deals with reading skills? There are many areas of the brain that compensate for each other, that take over for each other. And friends, as we do one thing, God, you know, Ellen White says we work on the plan of addition, God works on the plan of multiplication. Let me finish this up. Christ has given us no assurance that to attain perfection of character is an easy matter. A noble all-round character is not inherited. It does not come to us by accident. A noble character is earned by individual effort through the merits and grace of Christ. God gives the talents, the powers of the mind. We form the character. It is formed by a hard, stern battles with self. Conflict after conflict must be waged against hereditary tendencies. We shall have to criticize ourselves closely and allow not one unfavorable trait to remain uncorrected. Let no one say, I cannot remedy my defects of character. If you come to this decision, you will certainly fail of obtaining everlasting life. The impossibility lies in your own will. If you will not, then you cannot overcome. Henry Ford put it this way. If you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right. Have you ever seen a big multi-ton elephant standing in a circus with one of those old chains around his leg? He's got a little chain and he could go and pop it just like that. He's even stronger than Jerry. I mean, just one pulp and that thing's gone. Why does that massive element let that little chain hold him to that stake in the ground? I'll tell you why. Because from the time he was a little baby elephant, they had that chain around his leg. And when he was a baby, he pulled it and pulled it and pulled it and it wouldn't move. So he has told his brain, that's got me. That's got me. When just one, he'd be free. Friends, what chain is holding you today? What chain is holding you today? When through the power of God, you can break free. Listen, if you will not, then you cannot. Many whom God has qualified to do excellent work accomplish very little because they attempt little. Remember that you will never reach a higher standard than you yourself set. Listen to this. Let nothing hinder you. Fate has not woven its meshes around any human being so firmly that he need remain helpless and in uncertainty. Amen! Opposing circumstances should create a firm determination to overcome them. The breaking down of one barrier will give greater ability and courage to go forward. Press with determination in the right direction, and circumstances will be your helpers, not your hindrances. That's science. That's science. God is telling us truthfully, like He said in Proverbs 27, verse 3, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you think you're not worth anything, you'll never be worth anything. If you think you're a son of God and you act like you're a son of God, God will make you a son of God. The whole power lies in your will. That's why Paul said in Romans 12, verse 2, that we should be what? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. Friends, that's science. Our brains are renewed as we give God our will. He rewrites our genetic code. Let me read you just a few things from Rady before we leave. There's so much we could have shared, but we didn't have time. Let me read it from here. Do I get private sessions? No, but the Lord does. Okay, let me see where we're going to end up here. We must remember that genetics is not destiny. Genes set boundaries for human behavior. But within these boundaries, this is John Rady speaking, there is immense room for variation determined by experience, personal choice, and even chance. The point to remember is that genes can be active or inactive, and that everything we do affects the activity of our genes. Adult learning increases the activation of genes that turn on the production of proteins in the brain that the brain needs to solidify memory. Do you know that the brain that you have right now, at this very moment, is not the same brain you woke up with? The way you relate to your wife is rewriting your brain. The way you relate to your children is rewriting your brain. The way we relate to stresses and pressures is rewriting our brain. Friends, what we're watching on television is rewriting our brains. What we're listening to in our music is rewriting our brains. What we're reading in our books or our magazines is rewriting our brains. Every decision we make in life is having an effect on this organ called the brain. That's why we're told in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we're to bring how many thoughts? Every thought into captivity of obedience to Christ. Why? Because Jesus knows that even the thoughts affect how the brain is working. Are we fearfully and wonderfully made? Do any of us have to walk out of this room feeling defeated or worthless? Do any of us have to walk out of this room feeling like there's not hope for us? Oh, but God doesn't understand, Dane, the type of home I... Yes, God does understand. He understood before you were born. That's why He made your brain to recreate itself. There's only one thing we have to do. What is it? Jesus says in the book of Proverbs, "My son, give me your heart." The heart means the will. Give me your will. Lay aside, Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside those sins and the weights that so easily beset us. Friends, it's time that we realize that the only ones who are going to be fit to take to heaven are the ones who have given their minds, their wills, totally and completely to God. That's the only standard of salvation. Because once God has our will, He has everything. He has everything. So the question we have to ask ourselves today is, who has your thoughts? Who has your will? If Satan has your will, listen to me now. If Satan has your will, he will rewrite your brain chemistry. He will. If God has your will, he will rewrite your brain chemistry. Now the question we have is, which software author are we going to accept? Because either one is going to rewrite our brains. That's why one of the most cogent scientific passages in the entire Bible is found in the book of Joshua. Let me give you the reference. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. When Joshua said one simple phrase, one simple sentence, "Choose ye this day who you will serve." Father in heaven, thank you so much for these incredible brains that you have given us. Lord, we've just begun to scratch the surface on the incredible findings that neuroscience is coming up with. But Lord, one thing is certain. You have designed our brains for change. They can either change for the better or for the worse. There's no stopping point. Our brains are never in neutral. They're never just sitting still. They're either changing for better or changing for worse. Lord, help us from this day to have those hard battles with self, to have those stern conflicts to overcome our hereditary tendencies to evil, knowing that you are standing by our side to help us to rewrite our circuitry, to rewrite those brain codes so that we can have the mind of Christ. Please guide us the remainder of this day, we pray. And Lord, may each one of us come off more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2005, all rights reserved. To order additional CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, call our toll-free order line, 1-800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. You may also download our latest catalog or order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your letters and ongoing financial support are greatly appreciated. This year, 2005, we are celebrating our 30th anniversary, 30 years of faithfully maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra. The speakers associated with this ministry are all on the same page. There is no theological compromise here at ACM. We're helping prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.